Hi everyone, I'm Allie.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back to another week of Marianna Wanza, your favorite book club and media podcast. How have you been this week, Andy?
There has been a lot of change this week with work and just, I don't know, it seems like the world is moving very fast. We're already at the end of January.
Oh yeah, I know. Tomorrow's the last day and I'm not ready for it.
Yeah. Oh, but I decided to buy a Cricut machine and a t-shirt pressing machine.
Oh.
And I started that because I had tried so many different small businesses in Lebanon and Watertown area to make me some t-shirts with my pottery logo on it. And literally none of them would follow through with me. They would either like just never get back to me, or they would say, okay, let me get you a quote, or let me run some numbers for you. And then they would never get back to me. And after like the third one, I was like, okay, forget it. This is not going to happen. So I was like, I'm just going to buy my own machine and make them myself. And then if anybody else wants t-shirts made for something, let me know.
Well, we could talk to somebody about designing us a little t-shirt.
I mean, yeah, we could do it.
Well, yeah, after you get it and do some stuff with it. Yeah.
Well, I got the Cricut machine today. The heat press should be coming like tomorrow or Friday, I think.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see. It might be a learning curve, but hey.
I imagine it will be. But that's okay.
But that's something different that's not work related that happened.
That is exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to be a little more entrepreneurial.
Well, let's fingers crossed it works out for you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
What about you? Anything new?
Yeah, we had, you know, the Fancy Secret Society parade on Sunday, which is always a really good time. And Molly, friend of the pod, came over, like I said. And then I also made my new favorite thing. Well, not my new favorite thing, but one of my new loaves that I made, sourdough loaves, was a bacon flavored one. And it's pretty good, actually. So,
what would you put on the bacon bread? Is this like breakfast bread?
I mean, it's bread for any time, but I have a vision in my mind to make a grilled cheese with it. Because I have enjoyed in the past a bacon grilled cheese, and I feel like this is skipping the step of me having to cook the bacon to put it on the grilled cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was thinking like a breakfast toast with like cheese, egg, and the bacon.
Yeah, that would also be really good.
Sounds like you might have a winner.
I don't know. It came from that flour, salt, water, yeast book of mine. It wasn't my idea, is what I should say.
Okay, well.
But it tastes good, so highly recommend. If anybody wants a recipe, send us an email. But yeah, other than that, just writing.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Any more updates on your... Weren't you doing, like, you were applying for internships or something like that?
Yes, I'm applying for a fellowship in about 2 weeks, actually, 2 weeks from Thursday. So I finished all of the documents for it, and I've sent them out to a few people so that they can help me by looking over it and letting me know what they think I might need to change. So hypothetically, if I pass the first round, I'll get an interview before the middle of March, and then I won't find out until the summer if I've actually gotten the fellowship. So
yeah. Are you still going to teach on the island this summer?
Yes, unless for some reason enrollment isn't sufficient, I will be teaching still.
Well, sounds like you've made some progress since the last job update.
Yes.
The job search update.
Yes. Like I said, somebody's got to pay for my lifestyle, and unfortunately, Jose will not do it.
Jose, no. Jose is a mooch.
He's such a mooch. Look at him. Look at him right now. He's just lying in his bed sleeping. Ugh. Dogs. What can you do with them? You're familiar. You got a couple mooches yourselves.
Yeah, they are big mooches.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
All right, so this week we watched the movie Shrek from 2001, the original one. I know there's like 500 sequels, but
hey,
look, there's a lot of sequels to the Shrek movies.
True, like TV shows and sequels, like true sequels to Shrek, but then they've also got like Puss in Boots, yeah. which is a spinoff. So like,
there's also some like animated shorts, like mm-hmm. Christmas themed, and I don't know, other stuff like that.
Like everybody loves Shrek. It was a true phenomenon.
I feel
still like is. Honestly. Some
point though, like Shrek 2 was good. Shrek 3, I'm like, all right, that's where I draw the line. After that, they are all downhill.
Did you watch Puss in Boots?
I don't think I watched that one.
I think the 2011 version, but then also more specifically the 2022 version is supposed to be really good.
Okay.
That's didn't even the know. Sequel to Puss in Boots.
I didn't know that one existed.
Yes. Well, Henry has a couple nieces and he watched it with them and he said it was actually pretty good considering. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you want to give a quick summary if our listeners haven't watched it in a while? I didn't realize how long it had been since I watched it.
Yeah, and I hadn't realized it'd been 23 years since it came out almost, which is insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the words of the behind the scenes from the DVD, it's not a question of if you've seen Shrek, but how many times you've seen it. It's the animated princess story that takes every other trope and turns it on its head. Shrek is an ogre who accepts a mission from Lord Farquaad to save a princess to become Farquaad's bride in exchange for removing fairy tale invaders from his swamp. And I use invaders with quotes for those of you who can't see what I've written here.
Man, this is such a good movie. I remember watching this one in the theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in 2001. So I would have been 7.
Yeah, almost. I was 6.
Yeah, I remember it.
Seems like something I would have gone to see for my birthday since it came out on May 18th, but I don't know that I actually did.
Yeah, it was released May 18th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And which I did a little bit of background, not as much as you did, but I did a little bit of background research on this. And I had no idea that this movie was an adaptation from a 1990 picture book by William, would you say Steig?
I would say Steig.
Steig. And I found a picture of it online of what the picture book, like the cover, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
He is very unhappy in this picture.
Yeah, he does look like big, ugly ogre and scary in that one. I think it's the eyebrows and the red eyes.
Mm-hmm. And but his hair. He's got like,
yeah.
That's not coming from his ears. So is that like sideburns, do we think? Or is he just like bald and that's like sort of the, you know, the crown around his head?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. More of a, like an outgrown crown around his head.
Yeah. Well, I knew about it because it's, you know, it's been on the internet for forever now.
Yeah.
People talking about it, so.
Never looked into it.
Yeah, that's fair.
William Steig received $500,000 for the rights of the story.
Which, like, considering, so the budget of this movie was, some $60 million?
Yeah.
So, considering that, he, like, I can't tell if he got a good deal or a bad deal, but it made $500 million worldwide, almost. So, it seems like he should have gotten a little bit more than that.
But at the same time, I've never read the picture book, but I'm assuming it's not very long and not very detailed, so they might have not really had a lot to work with from his story.
That's true, but it's like all about the character itself, right? So yeah. It's if he came up with the original idea, it's his character, you know?
Yeah. I think he should have been given more.
I can't believe that Shrek 2 made double what Shrek 1 made domestically. So you say it's $268 million domestically and Shrek 2 made $500 million plus, which is insane to me.
It might not quite have been double. I think it was like high 400 millions.
Wow, that's insane.
But still, yeah. And a lot of times sequels are like they don't do as well in the box office as originals. So I was surprised to see that this one was like almost double.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember watching Shrek 2? Or have you watched it recently?
I have not watched it recently. I remember watching Shrek 2 because that's the one where Fiona's parents, like her dad's going to die. And so they want Shrek to come over or they go over and meet them, right? And then the king's a frog?
Yeah, I think so. And there's fairy godmother?
And she has, like, that whole singing scene, and they, like, break into her workplace at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember exactly what's in the second one versus the third one. Another fun fact that I found was that Shrek actually translates in Yiddish and German loosely as fear or fright.
Good name.
Yeah, perfect name. I just thought it was a made-up name.
So the author seemingly has German or Jewish ancestry, so it kind of makes sense then that he chose this name for his character.
Yeah, I don't know why I never thought that it might be a translation of anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just a regular name that was somebody made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as far as the three main actors and actresses, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and Mike Myers, they were all paid the same amount, $3 million for the first movie, which I thought was kind of crazy because if I was Mike Myers, I would want to be paid more than the other two because you're the main character.
I don't know that he's more main than like Fiona. I would argue all three of them make like a very good trio of main characters. And while like Shrek is technically the title character, I don't think he's like super, like the story relies on the other two so much as well.
Yeah. And like Donkey was definitely the comedic relief, and like it wouldn't be the same kind of movie without that character. I just thought it was crazy that they all three were paid the same amount just for the first movie, second one and on, not so much.
Well, I think Cameron Diaz made like $10 million for the second one.
I think Mike Myers made $10 million for the second one.
Well, then maybe they were all paid the same for the second one. That's more notable to me just because there's equity between like the female lead and the male leads.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't expect, particularly in, you know, they were making it in, you know, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, that's what's shocking to me. So hats off to them for not having a pay gap there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought it was cool that they were all three paid the same for the first movie. And I made a note in here to remind myself to tell you that one time I was in New York City and my mom and one of my aunts and I, it was just the three of us, we went to where they film the Today Show every day and stood in the crowd, like where they have all of the stars for the day come out on like a, it's not a red carpet, but like an area to meet some fans.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Myers was there that day and he came over to me, and I guess I was sitting on my uncle's shoulders, who came with us, not my uncle, my mom's uncle, I guess I was sitting on his shoulders or something, and I was really tall, and he looks at me and he goes, "Wow, you're really short." Like, haha. I was probably also like, I don't know, 10, so probably around the time the second one came out, he was probably there
mm-hmm.
promoting that. But I just remember being like, that didn't make sense.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, he spoke to me.
Wow. I wonder if he remembers that interaction.
I don't know. Maybe got in his bed at night like, oh man, that time 20 years ago when I told that little girl that she was really short.
Yeah. Did you know that Mike Myers wasn't the original person cast for the voice of Shrek?
No.
So, do you know who Chris Farley is?
I've heard the name. I don't know if I know him from anything.
Yeah, so he was, like, on SNL, and he did a bunch of comedic roles.
Oh.
Yeah, like him. Tommy Boy. A bunch of stuff that we probably haven't really watched that much of. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Tommy Boy, and I only know him from SNL clips. But he actually recorded the vast majority of the film, like some estimates were like up to 95% of all of the dialogue before he passed away, and then Mike Myers is the one who came in and replaced him.
Yeah, I see that he died in 1997. I wonder how long this movie was in the works.
It was like 6 or 7 years, because they originally did about a year and a half work with the original character design that Chris Farley had recorded the lines for, that I sent you that little clip of.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So they have the lost media is like a big thing on the internet. And the original, like, not screenplay, but like the original animated version of Shrek that they put years of work into has not ever been, like, it's like fully scrubbed from the internet. Nobody wants anyone to see it until like 2 months ago or something. This footage came out and I sent it to you, and I want to hear what your opinion is of it.
I didn't realize that was the original. I thought that was like a video game, because it looks like a video game.
Yeah, like the quality is a lot worse.
Yeah, I would not watch that if that was a full movie.
Yeah, like the blocking and everything, like it doesn't look good. And I wonder if maybe they would have cleaned some of that up, but it like much more traditional 2D animation with a computer is what it looks like to me. And
Yeah,
it's not good.
it that little clip you sent, I don't think it had any lines in it. It just had music.
Yeah, there was like some hollering and stuff, but
Yeah.
not a ton.
Yeah.
And that's like the most that they've released in some way that people have found. So,
That's crazy. I didn't realize that was from the original.
yeah, and it's like his head shape is much closer to the original character design, and like he's missing some teeth and whatnot. And yeah, I don't like it. I prefer my Shrek a lot more. I also didn't know what I found out is that Mike Myers recorded all of the dialogue before he had the idea to do his Scottish accent. And then he like pitched it to the producers and directors and was like, hey, I want to redo the whole thing. And they let him. So
Well,
that was, yeah, a good idea too, I think.
yeah.
I don't know, again, if that's like nostalgia on our part or if we had heard Shrek with like a normal American accent, if we would have been okay with it.
I don't know, some of his iconic lines, like better out than in, I always say, or like different things like that, I don't think would have been as funny or made as much of an impact if it was just in a normal American accent.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. So sorry, Chris Farley. So I realized when I was watching this movie that Murphy in like a lot of his animated roles is just Eddie Murphy's voice. And I have loved like his role as Mushu in Mulan and his role in Madagascar, like all of those, and this one, obviously, I think he did a really good job, but I was trying to figure out why people don't critique him as much for having like the same voice in all of his movies as they do to Chris Pratt. Have you heard all of like the flack that Chris Pratt has been getting recently for his voice acting roles?
I didn't know he even did any voice acting roles.
So like in the Mario movie, he played Mario.
I never saw that.
Okay, well, people really hated him for it because it was like not an Italian, like a real Italian voice. It was just Chris Pratt. And I was trying to figure it out and talking to Henry about it. And he was like, yeah, like it's just like Murphy has like a very cartoonish voice and it really lends itself well to sort of these animated features. And we've just seen like a lot of Chris Pratt back to back to back, or at least I have back to back to back in like these big movies that he really doesn't have. Any real chops to be in, so
Yeah, it looks like his other animated movies were, I guess it looks like they're going to do a Garfield movie in 2024 and then like Lego movie. I haven't heard anything about Chris Pratt. But no, I think it's the way that Eddie Murphy's voice is just in general makes for a better animated character overall, in my opinion. But I'm trying to think of other movies that Eddie Murphy, like I don't remember him having the donkey voice in like Haunted Mansion or Daddy Daycare or some of those older Eddie Murphy movies.
Right, I think he definitely plays it up for these animated ones. And less so, yeah, for his like actual human roles, I guess. Also, so you just Googled John Lithgow, right?
I knew who he was, but I just couldn't remember his name for a moment.
It wasn't until I Googled him for this that I realized that I did know who Lord Farquaad's character is. It's shocking to me that the first thing that comes to mind is the deadbeat dad he plays on How I Met Your Mother. He's Barney's dad, but then he's also like in The Crown and stuff. And then once I realized that, and then I was watching this, I was like, oh, I can clearly hear this man now. That was my fun fact from watching this. It's like a very extensive list. He's done theater and television and movies, and never like necessarily a super big character, but. Yeah, and then I just wanted to talk for a second, if you don't mind, about the animation itself. Because I didn't realize I was watching this behind the scenes DVD video thing, and I didn't realize that they were like largely pioneering the software to animate this movie as they were doing it. So that's why it was like so cutting edge and felt like so new and cool. Like I remember seeing it when it came out, and I was like, oh my God, this animation's so new and awesome and 3D.
Yeah.
had to like do a lot of like, they animated like Shrek's fat layers separately and all of Fiona's clothes separately. And it's just shocking the amount of detail that went into all of this. Because it did start off with that video I showed.
Yeah, I noticed in particular the animation when he would roar at people and all the spit that would come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, all the little detail in that is like, oh, it just makes it so gross because it's so detailed.
Yeah, and one of the director, Andrew Adamson's favorite scenes is when Shrek is, he's going to deliver the sunflower to Fiona when she and Donkey are talking in the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
And he overhears her saying, you know, like bad things about herself, but he thinks it's about him. And like the emotions that go through his face, like it's insane the detail that they put into that and how you can very clearly tell exactly what Shrek is feeling.
Yeah.
So hats off to them for that. That's from DreamWorks and then Pacific Data Images they brought in to help with a lot of the CGI.
So my first, I started making notes when the movie was first playing, and then I realized I'm going to like rewrite the whole movie if I just do this. A couple of the first things that I noticed right off the bat was that Shrek is reading the fairy tale book about Fiona, and then he says something like, oh, that's such a load of, and then he flushes the toilet. He's in an outhouse. Like, flushing a toilet in the outhouse. I didn't catch that before, but I did this time, and I laughed for a minute on that.
That's so funny. I've never noticed that.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. He just flushed an outhouse. That's not how that works.
Yeah. And I think the implication is that he, like, tears out a page of the book to use as toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is so funny. And I have to say, I think we both love the soundtrack in this, but the opening song and the way that he like swings the door open at the exact moment, like somebody, mm-hmm. insane. Great work on their part.
Yeah. I also remember the credits at the beginning being very memorable when I was a kid. I always loved how like the little maggots would form the name John Lithgow, and like he would break the glass and the wood underneath would be etched with Eddie Murphy's name, and
mm-hmm.
all the little bugs in the swamp would be Cameron Diaz. Like, I just thought that was a really cool way to, like, yeah, you're going to give credit to the voice actors and all the crew and stuff, but as a kid, I hated when movies would just have the names of the credits displayed at the bottom of the screen while the movie was playing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this was a clever way to do it and memorable for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen online that people think that when Shrek first introduces himself to Donkey, that he makes up the name Shrek because he like pauses whenever he's asked the question?
I noticed that this time that he was like, Shrek. Yeah. Like he just made it up. And I thought that too. Like, did he just make up a name? Like, has nobody ever talked to him that he would need to say what his name is?
Yeah, that seems shocking because he's presumably is some sort of parents. Like, maybe they didn't stick around too long, but
I thought about that too. I was like, wait a minute, has he no family? Has he no siblings?
Like, definitely seems like he's very solitary.
Yeah. I was like, where do ogres originate?
Yeah. They crawl out of the mud.
Yeah, but no, I thought that too. I was like, did he just make up that name and I've never caught that?
Yeah, I think that he must have, which is so funny because, yeah, like, who doesn't have some sort of name?
Yeah. I liked all the music that this, I had the soundtrack, which, I mean, I guess I had the soundtrack for a lot of different movies when I was younger because that was more of a thing you did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had the soundtrack and they were all great songs.
Yeah, I think that this movie is, like, the reason why I started to like the song Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure started, and then the American Idol contestant, whoever it was at the time that sang it.
I know who you're talking about. I remember that one.
Yeah, that, like, those two things together, I was like, ah, this is a good song. It's in this good movie. It's sung by this other good guy. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I see that you made note of it as well, but this movie is full of adult humor, which mm-hmm. as a child went right over my head and never caught on to any of that.
Yeah. Like, the words, like, the fact that they leave shit out in the very beginning when mm-hmm. Shrek is talking. And then, like, I've also more recently, again, because of the internet, noticed that when Lord Farquaad is in bed and asking his magic mirror to show him pictures of Fiona, it seems like he might get a little excited, if you know what I mean. And he like pulls up the blanket. I don't know. It's just like, there's so much that goes over our heads. And one of the directors, Adamson again, said that we really did make the movie for ourselves and made it accessible for children rather than making a movie for children that was accessible to adults. And I've never thought about it that way, but it does seem like they made it for themselves and just like put it in this sort of animated facade for children, because I think it's enjoyable by all ages.
Yeah. And then since it's accessible to children, that means that parents are going to buy tickets for the whole family to go to the movies instead of just doing a date night. So buying two tickets, now they're buying four or five tickets. So they're making a lot more money on it too.
Smart. It was very smart of them.
I want to talk about Donkey for a second, because I would say he's the comedic relief.
They're all funny at times, but yeah, definitely supposed to be the goofy character.
Yeah. I liked that Donkey looks past the surface level features of Shrek, and Shrek even says, or I guess it was Donkey, says, you know, I didn't see you as just a big ugly ogre, and Shrek says, I know. At the same time, he's also putting his foot in his mouth all the time. When he first comes to the swamp and Donkey says, who would want to live in a place like that? And then he catches himself and he goes, it's amazing what you've done with such a modest budget. That's a nice boulder. Yeah. Back himself back out of a hole.
Yeah.
Love the whole character of Donkey.
Yeah, I've always loved it when he sings this, you know, I'm all alone, there's no one here beside me, but you gotta have friends. I think I quote that, like, often in my life relative to other lines from movies.
Yeah.
That end, better out than in, that's what I always say, and get out me swamp, which isn't exactly what Shrek says in the movie, but still how I choose to portray it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of my other Donkey quotes that's my favorite is when he goes, you cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me real deep just now.
he's just such a good character. And, you know, like the scene where he's scared to go across the drawbridge into the castle and Shrek just like very easily tricks him into backing up without realizing it. Like, incredible work.
Yeah, they do work together, even though you can tell Donkey is annoying for Shrek.
He's so annoying. I mean, he doesn't really try to rein it in too much.
Yeah.
Though I do think he has a point when he starts to build his own little space in Shrek's swamp and like starts to put up the fence to divide it in half. And he's like, I did half the work. You owe me half the spoils. Like, I think he's got a point there.
Yeah, or maybe he could just, like, build his own little home next door to Shrek on the neighbor's property.
Well, then he'd be taking it from somebody else.
Well, although it seems like Shrek lived deep enough in the woods that nobody else was around.
Yeah, right up until Lord Farquaad. First of all, I'd like to say Lord Farquaad is seemingly, like, a very manipulative genius, because he makes the problem by sending all of these fairy tale characters to Shrek's swamp. And then Shrek gets Shrek to go solve the problem by like running this errand for him.
Yeah. I kind of saw that as more of a convenient thing. Like, he wanted to banish all of the fairy tale creatures out into the woods. And it, like, he didn't care that Shrek lived there. He might not have even known that Shrek lived there. But then when Shrek came into the arena and was like, I want all these people out of here, then he took it as an opportunity, like, okay, I'll make you a deal.
Yeah, make the problem, solve the problem.
I
don't think it was like a long-term plan by him, but I still, he's working overtime.
Yeah.
I also like in the scene, you know, I feel like Shrek gets a lot of flack, but you know, he really did not murder a single one of those knights who was trying to kill him in that scene.
Yeah, I paid attention to that, because when I, like I said, hadn't seen the movie in a while, but when it got to that scene where they were having the duel, I was like, I can't remember, but does he actually kill all these people in a children's movie? But no, you're right, he just like knocks them unconscious basically.
Yeah, like, he overall, like, given his what he could have done in that situation, I think Shrek is a better guy than he gives himself credit for.
Yeah. I mean, he could grind their bones to make bread, but
yeah.
he just chose to knock them out.
Yeah. Which also, I don't think I realized just how bad Lord Farquaad was. Like, when he's torturing the gingerbread man the way he is, yeah. I didn't realize how bad that was. But, I mean, it's funny when he's like, not the gumdrops, but yeah. Muffin Man. Yes. Who lives on Drury Lane? Yeah. Great scene. Didn't realize how dark it really is. So a lot of the good thing about this movie is, of course, that it sort of turns the original tropes for all of these fairy tale movies on their head.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things that, you know, we both notice is like the early 2000s, I want to say obsession. I think obsession with looks for women particularly is the way to put it.
Yeah. And it might've just been that I was young enough to realize that people in the early 2000s were very obsessed with what they looked like, or maybe it was just because I was getting to the age where I was able to recognize it. I mean, it's mm-hmm. probably always been around, but maybe that was just at the age when I was starting to notice it. But yeah, it seemed very on point for the early 2000s. Like, I need to be beautiful obsession that a lot of women were chasing.
And then at the end, Fiona's like, well, if I'm going to be, you know, Shrek is my true love and I'm going to be an ogre, then that's the way it is. And I've always liked that message, I think.
Yeah, it took me a little while to come to terms with that. Like, it definitely had mentions of like body image acceptance and that kind of thing, but the only thing I didn't like was that it seemed to me like Fiona needed a man to confirm that she was beautiful. So like she said to Shrek like but I'm supposed to be beautiful, and he's like, but you are beautiful. And then she was like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
you didn't need him to tell you that. Like,
but I think that that's like very indicative of society in general, right? Because we do, I think, seek external validation a lot, and it's hard to overcome when we've been taught by, you know, everybody that ogres are ugly and you're an ogre. Like, it's hard to overcome that. She was locked away in a tower for 16 years because of what she became at night.
Yeah, I did make note that she was brainwashed into thinking that ogres could never be anything but ugly, so that also makes sense. Yeah. But just her needing validation from a man, I was like, oh, come on, Fiona, we're better.
Yeah, well, I mean, but to be fair, that is like the only person who like said that, like, really accepted her, and she still, like, she came around and like wasn't waiting for everybody else in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So
oh, I found my note about how dark the movie could be. So Lord Farquaad, his quote that I wrote down was, some of you may die, but that's a risk I'm willing to make.
It's like, it feels all like right. Such yeah, evil overlord, and also kind of like at like Jeff Bezos-y, you know? It's like, I'll make my money off of you, but that's, you know, if you get hurt, that's the way it is.
Yeah. That's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah, he's funny. A good one, a good quote.
Yeah, my other favorite quote was from that same scene where the lady in the crowd goes, give him the chair, give him the chair.
Yeah, big WWE energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think also what I never really thought about is how much they show like the interactions between Shrek and Fiona on like their journey back, and how that sort of leads to them developing feelings for each other.
Way where like they're playing one song, but so many different clips throughout that day or whatever of them falling in love. Like, I think that's a common way to move the story along, but mm-hmm. it's necessary.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of reciprocation between the two. It's not like just Shrek or just Fiona. Mm-hmm. You know, she cooks eggs for him, you know, they get the balloons. Yeah, I think they do a very good job, since this is, you know, it's supposed to be a children's movie, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Also didn't realize how many cultural references there are in here. Because
mm-hmm.
I looked it up. I mean, once you start listing them out, it's like Peter Pan, Snow White, you know, Disneyland in general, The Dating Game, The Christmas Carol, Pinocchio, The Three Little Bears, The Three Little Pigs, Three Billy Mice. You know, they really like pack all of these traditional characters and seemingly make a little bit of fun of Disney in the time. But
yeah, what was the Disneyland reference?
They sing It's a Small World at one point.
Oh.
Or not It's a Small World, but that's what, like, the song when they come in, they have, like, that little miniature when they take the picture of Donkey and Shrek.
Black, it's a perfect town. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's definitely supposed to be a reference to Disneyland.
Oh.
And sort of just, like, the town of... That is the town of Far, Far Away? No.
Duloc.
Yeah. I think that that is definitely supposed to... Yeah. Like, supposed to kind of be, like, a Disneyland-y town.
Yeah. Oh, Far, Far Away is in the second movie.
Okay, that's what it is. That's
where Fiona's parents live.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The very parents that locked her up in the tower?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, but we should watch Shrek 2.
Yeah. One thing I thought was funny was that when all of the fairy tale creatures are dumped into Shrek's swamp, they put Snow White on his dinner table, on his dining table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the very next scene, there's the magic mirror that offers Snow White as one of the three options for his potential bride. I'm like, wait a minute, she's in the swamp right now.
Hold on. We already know where she is. This isn't even a challenge.
Yeah, but you still didn't pick her.
Yeah. Huge mistake on his part.
Yeah, but I just thought that was funny that that was one of the three options, but we already know that she's in Shrek's house right now.
Yeah.
You notice the mama bear of the three bears was turned into a rug?
Oh, yeah.
That was a little...
Yeah, that's a little too much. And at one point, they have, when they're rounding up all the animals, they have the little bear separate from the two parent bears.
Mm-hmm.
This has got some very dark things in this movie.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
So many good quotes. It was hard to pick just a couple.
Yeah. It's a very quotable movie. And again, a very great soundtrack. Like, it really brought All Stars, you know, Smash Mouth and, Smash Mouth's All Star.
Who's saying I'm a Believer? Wasn't that also Smash Mouth?
Also Smash Mouth, yes, but it's their cover of the Monkey song, so.
Oh, okay, okay.
But still, yeah, like, really brought them back to focus, and now I feel like at every of their concerts, they have to have that, like, requested, or somebody must hold up a Shrek sign or something every single time.
Yeah, I think that's it for all my notes.
Out of 5 onions...
Oh, layered onions?
Yes. 5 layered onions. How many do you get this movie?
5 layered onions, but not bloomin' onions. let's see. Out of 5 onions, I'm going to go 5. This was still a good movie.
5 out of 5. Yeah, I think like easily like a 4.8 for me. Mm-hmm. Like, very good movie. Very. This is a movie that does age very well.
Yep.
Even that's, as we're aging.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. It seems like some of the movies we've watched that are a little older, like early 2000s, sometimes we watch them and I'm like, that's not quite good with today's time. But like this one still holds up.
Yeah. So excellent work. And maybe in the future we'll watch Shrek 2 so that we can remember what it's about.
Yeah. Also, our next story for next week, we're going to start the short story series by Ramona Ozabel. And it's from her collection called Awayland. And the story I picked is called You Can Find Love Now. I just got my copy in the mail today, so I haven't started it yet, but I'm excited to read it.
Yes, and I'm excited to listen to it. It's on Spotify.
Oh, really? I might have to listen to it also then.
My book for February, which is in 2 days, is Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
That one would be good too. I know the story of Frankenstein, I feel like, but maybe I just know the monster. Like, I don't know if I really know the story as well as I think I do.
Yeah, like, I think that I know, yeah, that there's a doctor who makes this monster out of bits and pieces, and then I think the monster goes on some sort of rampage of some sort.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew the doctor and the monster. And then isn't the doctor's name Frankenstein, not the monster?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
That's as much as I know.
Yeah. So this will be good for both of us.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.